Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Donald Trump for president? Are we kidding? You know, before we decided to spend precious airtime on this topic, we asked ourselves that question here in the office. Is he kidding? Is this just another publicity stunt by a master self-promoter who went through the same motions in the 2000 presidential race, calling George Bush a bad businessman before deciding not to run? And yes, probably he is kidding. But the reality is his flirtation with the race is being taken seriously enough by enough people that the latest CNN poll of possible Republican primary voters has him tied for first with Mike Huckabee at 19%, with Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich tied for second at 11%. Today's development, Trump says he'll release his latest tax returns when President Obama releases his birth certificate. Here's the exchange that led to that on Good Morning America yesterday.
I'm not just like a normal guy that says, gee, I'm going to run for president. I was a governor. I was a senator. I'm going to run for president. I give up a lot if I run. I have a great company. I've done a great job, which if I run, you'll see what a great job, because I'll do a full disclosure of finances.
Including your tax returns?
We'll look at that. Maybe I'm going to do the tax returns when Obama does his birth certificate.
Trump on Good Morning America. So let's talk. It turns out WNYC's own Kurt Anderson, host of Studio 360, has reported on the Donald over the years, mostly when Kurt ran Spy magazine. And like many reporters who dare to tread on the Trump's public life, has taken some pushback as a result, like Trump calling him a third-rate reporter and an unsuccessful one at that. Of course, I say with failures like Kurt Anderson, who needs successes? So we welcome Kurt to the weekday side of WNYC and to the guest microphone. Hiya, Kurt. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, Brian. Happy to be here.
Before we get into the immediate presidential politics, Trump's missile at you came for something you wrote in your book, Reset, about the financial crisis, right?
It may be. I don't keep a close track of how or for what exact reason he's insulted me over the years, but if you say so, I'll take your word for it.
All right. Well, what was it that you wrote about him in that book?
I may have mentioned him. I think I did mention him in that book as an example of, you know, as an embodiment of how the United States sort of went wrong over the last 20 years in terms of believing its own BS and being profligate.
And the excerpt that I saw quoted in a newspaper said that you referred to him and Warren Buffett as being icons of an America that was past. So people know the basics, I think. The real estate mogul who's been rich, then bankrupt, then rich again, the Apprentice TV series, a pair of headline marital flameouts, the general ostentatiousness of his tastes, including his hair, and now this candidacy as a born-again birther. So as closely as you followed Trump over the years, Kurt, what's this possible presidential run all about? What's he really up to?
Well, the thing is, knowing I was going to come on your show this morning, I looked back and I saw that back in 1987, he was flirting with the idea of running for president and saying, well, of course, if I ran, I'd win. This is in the 1988 presidential election, you know, almost a quarter century ago. So he is, just as he has been bankrupt many times, he has flirted with running for president many times. It does seem, given that at this point he is, you know, more famous nationally than ever, has gone further out in suggesting that he's serious than ever before. It seems as though it would be hard for him not to run. I mean, what will his excuse be if he says, no, I've decided not to run? I mean, you know, the boy can cry wolf only so many times. So he has done this again and again and again. I mean, sometimes he does it as a kind of left-wing Democrat saying we have to have universal health care and George Bush is the worst president in history, which he said a few years ago. Now he says it as I love the Tea Party and I don't believe Barack Obama was born in this country and he's the worst president in history. So it's an amazing spectacle. He is an amazing spectacle, which is why I guess I've been a sort of a student of Donald Trump for, you know, these 25 years.
So, listeners, we're poking some fun at Donald Trump here because, on one level, how can you not? But I'm interested in genuine fans of Donald Trump calling us up, and we're going to save our lines primarily for you. If you have found yourself rooting for him rather than against him over the years in business, in his politics, in his personal grooming, call us up. And if you are in that 19% or more of Republicans, according to CNN, who would take him seriously as a presidential candidate, we definitely want to hear from you in all earnestness. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, if you find yourself on this side of the social divide that roots more for Trump than against him, 212-433-9692. And on that point, Kurt, David Brooks, in his New York Times column, did a very serious-minded Why Trump Soars column. Not that he personally likes Trump very much, but as a matter of social psychology, Brooks wrote, "Many people regard Trump as a joke and his popularity a disgrace, but he's actually writing a deep public fantasy, the hunger for the ultimate blowhard who can lead us through dark times." You think there's something to that?
I do think there's something to that. And for all of America's existence, there has been a certain kind of populism that talks about how they hate the elites and embodies the hatred of the elites. And here is this guy who was born rich and went to an Ivy League university and is a billionaire who is, miraculously, because this is America, writing that kind of middle class, working class resentment of the elites. And I think people do respond to that. And he's like a guy, you know, who you overhear angrily ranting about things in the deli in the morning. So he himself said on ABC News last week, he said, "I don't like rich people. I get along better with the middle class and poor people." Well, you know, oddly enough, given his, as I say, born rich Ivy League billionairedom, he does embody a certain kind of middle class, plain spoken, you know, "I marry who I want, I live how I want, I'm great, I'm rich," you know, and that carries a certain appeal for a certain group of Americans. And in fact, there's a new poll the public policy poll that came out on Friday that shows him even farther ahead. He is now, according to them, has 26% support of Republican primary voters ahead of Mike Huckabee, who has only 17. So, you know, we can say it's a joke, we can say he's not going to run, and maybe he won't, and maybe it is, but it seems to me, as these polls keep going in his direction, you know, I'm not sure he knows yet.
Robert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling, Robert.
Hi. I'm a big proponent of Donald Trump, and I would take issue with your reporter there. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but I think Warren Buffett and Donald Trump are exactly the embodiment of a big part of America, what's good about America, and I don't think it's gone. I hope it's not dying. And I think Trump is not just out for self-promotion or aggrandizement. I think he's that too, but he also wants to influence the discussion, the political discussion, the economic discussion. I think he cares about the United States. I think he's worried. And he's promoting his own interests.
Robert, thank you very much. Good start. And we'll go to some of the others of you who are calling in to support Donald Trump as well. On believing what he believes in, Kurt, the Wall Street Journal today and some other articles in the last few weeks have chronicled some of Trump's political changes. When he considered running in 2000, he said he was pro-choice on abortion. Now he's not. You talked about what he said about Bush. The free market Club for Growth is skeptical of him because he once supported a single-payer health system and a tax surcharge on rich people. He supports neither today. He's given money to Republicans and some Democrats, including Rahm Emanuel in his recent Chicago mayoral campaign, according to reports. He's voted in general elections every year since 1987, but only for the first time in a Republican primary last year. So is there a political Donald underlying all of this? Does he have certain political convictions that persist over time, or only his own interests?
I would dare anyone to tell me, show me consistency other than a kind of playing to the peanut gallery anger. I don't think you mentioned, he was a registered Democrat from 2001 until 2009. This isn't a Bloombergian sort of independent guy with whom there is a kind of consistent ideological story over the years. This is a guy who you can take certain things he said, and not a long time ago, over the last decade, and he looks like the biggest left winger going, and certain other things, and he looks like the biggest right winger going. So, it's hard for me. I'm all for people who don't fall into easy pigeonholes, but it's hard for me to see what the consistent political philosophy operating here is.
I feel like I missed that left-winger phase of his career. But Kurt Anderson is my guest, host of Studio 360 on WNYC, who has written about Donald Trump over the many years in Spy Magazine and The New Yorker, in his book Reset and elsewhere. And let's talk to some more Trump fans. Daniel in Middlesex County, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Daniel.
Hi, thank you. Listen, I like Donald Trump because in all his interviews, when he's asked a question, he answers it directly. But I think the strongest thing is his love and passion about America. We need this. He talks about China and the Middle East and the important things that need to be dealt with, something that many politicians, they don't answer directly. They go around and they leave us wandering in the dark. I want someone that I can believe in. And, you know, when I hear these people talking about his past, well, let me tell you, none of us have a great past. We all have skeletons in our closet. But I truly and really believe in Donald. I mean, you know, we had Chris Christie. He doesn't want to do it. We need someone with guts, courage, experience, and professionalism. We need a winner. And Donald Trump is a winner. And you know something? America needs a winner.
Daniel, thank you so much. Betty in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Betty.
Yeah, I mirror the last two callers in saying that I think Mr. Trump does speak from his heart. I do think he gives an honest answer, and I think the reason why he can do that, it's very similar to Mayor Bloomberg, who can come to a position and really have nothing to lose other than trying to make decisions that improve the situation, as opposed to playing political games, which is what most of the politicians today do. And with somebody with business experience like Mr. Trump and Mr. Bloomberg, I can only see positive results.
Betty, thank you very much. So, Kurt, there you have a little sampling of people who think Donald Trump would make a good president. And there is a theme that runs through these calls. You know, Dan Gross on Yahoo Finance wrote a kind of jokey spoof column, Six Reasons Trump Would Make a Great President, and he was being sarcastic. But reason number one was national rebranding, that Trump would no longer keep the name simply United States of America. He would change the name of the country to World Class Nation or Greatest Nation in the World, which very much echoes the second caller that we had. And I guess, you know, a strain of discontent that is real with what they see America becoming.
Well, and it's interesting to me that Trump, one of the lines that he's repeated more than once in this latest maybe gonna kind of sort of run for president is the United States is becoming the laughing stock of the world. You can argue that, but Lord knows if Donald Trump were president of the United States, I think there is no question that the United States would be the laughing stock of the world.
Douglas in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Douglas.
Hi there. I got to echo everyone else's sentiments in that I think, look, all the candidates are sleazy and untoward, and everyone's going to have bad things they can bring out. But if he could come in under budget and Washington Square, maybe he can, you know, run this country as a for-profit enterprise instead of a losing enterprise.
And Douglas, for you, where does the birther thing fit in, if it does at all? Trump's emphasis on this recently, do you think he's just trying to get attention with that, but I'm going to look past that for his other qualities, or does this motivate you also?
You know, I feel like this birther thing is just trying to get press. I think he's doing this for lowbrow reasons, and I don't think that he will make a strong candidate. Indeed, if he is a candidate, Obama would beat him, and that might make me happy. But I think he's going to bring a lot of stuff to the table that might be good for discussion.
Douglas, thank you very much. And Kurt, as the Journal notes today, he's being dismissed not by just Douglas from Brooklyn, but for his obsession with President Obama's birth certificate by leading Republicans like Karl Rove and Eric Cantor. Why do you think he's latched on to the birther thing? Is it just because it's the kind of popular circus act that Trump knows will draw a crowd, or what?
Yes, and because, again, part of his act has always been anger and rage at whomever, whether it's George Bush or the rich intellectuals who don't like him, or the reporters, the New York Times, or whomever. So it is the hot button in that in today's rage. Also, I think unlike serious candidates for president, or people who are regarded as serious candidates for president, who understand that that's the birther thing is nonsense, and people like Karl Rove call you a joke candidate if you espouse it. Either that means he's not serious about running for president, and because he's not serious, he can say this stuff, and he can say he believes, you know, he has grave doubts about where Barack Obama was born, or, you know, and maybe that's so, but then I don't think it's impossible that he might not be able to ride that to a serious contention for the nomination. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with your last caller who said if the Republicans nominated Donald Trump, it would be the greatest gift to the Barack Obama's reelection that is imaginable. But I am not convinced that he is going to say in a month, "I'm not running for president."
One more fan. Wayne in Bayonne. You're on WNYC. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, you know, the last call had said that Trump would rebrand the country, whatever. I think he will rebrand the country. He's going to call it Trumpica, okay? That's really what I think he wants to do. By the way, I would probably vote for him because I voted for Obama, and I'm kind of a left-wing artist type. I'm known as Wayne O'Drano. I've called you guys a couple times.
Uh-huh.
I voted for Obama because he gave the big speech about hope and everything, and he seems like he's like everybody else. That's what this country's all about at this point. They're getting tired of everybody being like everybody else, saying something and not doing it. And Trump comes off, you know, I mean, as a comedian, if I was telling a joke, I'd say, you know what, they're probably hiring because he wants to fire a bunch of people like the show.
There you go. All right, Wayne, thank you very much. Before you go, Kurt, would he have serious legal baggage? You know, we don't know if it's going to get this far, which is kind of the point of this discussion, I guess. But, like I've read, in a country that now abhors our litigiousness, certainly Republicans abhor our litigiousness, he sues people like it's going out of style.
Yep.
And Real Clear Politics noted last week, quote, "Shortly after the 2008 financial crash, Trump tried to avoid paying a $40 million Deutsche Bank debt for a construction loan he personally guaranteed. Trump argued that the crisis invoked, quote, force majeure, otherwise known as the act of God clause. A New York Times reporter asked Trump whether buyers of his condos could also walk away from their obligations because of the crisis, and Trump replied, they don't have a force majeure clause." Do you know about that?
Hello?
Yes.
No, when people talk about, oh, he's a business person like Michael Bloomberg, that does such a disservice to Bloomberg's actual business acumen. And, you know, once people look closely at his career and these multiple serial bankruptcies and creditors feeling ill-used and as you in this most recent Deutsche Bank thing of just saying, I don't have to pay this loan off anymore. I think that idea of, oh, he's a businessman who has business experience. Well, yeah, and he has a lot of money, but I don't think the ways in which he has managed to amass and keep this fortune will bear the scrutiny of an actual candidacy in terms of convincing people that, yeah, this is the guy I want running the United States of America.
You know, I watch The Apprentice sometimes, and one thing I notice is that Trump has a certain wink in his eye about his own imperious role on that show. Do you think he actually doesn't take himself too seriously, that there's actually a little Zen clown prince hiding inside his gold lame exterior, and that's why he can pull this off to this degree?
I think that's a very clever and subtle suspicion. I think that may be true. And again, I've enjoyed watching him. I haven't despised him or anything of the sort. I think he's I've written about how he's one of the reasons we like New York, because he is an embodiment of a certain kind of New York brashness. But for me personally, the Bertha thing was the bridge too far. That made it harder for me to simply be amused by his antics and say anything to get a rise out of people nature.
Well, Kurt Anderson, thanks for doing this. We'll hear you on the weekend on Studio 360. And to paraphrase Richard Nixon, is it nice to know you have the Donald to kick around once again?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Facebookization of the Newark Public Schools. And then Caitlin Kelly this hour on leaving journalism to work in a mall. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.